snogum hwy gag ig se bag, mwy gan at da mig, wa wate in at da mwn, mwy wan yn hawg ag 89.9 FM, channel 962 i ma unaganig.
Bill Morris, Ego pese ke gun go chuitan e kipe bit pas of tau gan hoi tup kuk e kawe e go skim teke te hoi ya no gum kai ki skaka au e kichi koe kai ki ya na gata kich si mai me moas kishin kasa e kwa te hopi skate iwa mio 1 o'clock pese k sik uma fino hon e kwa 4 o'clock sik weta pinta si ya You which got the egg with Tordek. I mean, she can make 1 o'clock to hope she got the QMEO. My solo card fino home. By Jim Gonoa, the Morris family, my big child. I got some more over to radio. My solo card 89.9 FM, I'm going in Bill Morris.
From the Landmark Hotel, your 100% Aboriginally owned hotel. Take advantage of our winter vacation specials on now. Book a 4-night stay for only $279 or a 7-night stay for $455. Call us at 1-800-465-3950 for details and to make your reservation. That's 1-800-465-3950.
Money in minutes. Anyone, anywhere. Short on cash, call 1-800-973-8033 or go to www.loanexpress.biz and receive funds immediately. Have your money deposited into your account. If you receive payroll, child tax benefit, pension, or disability, you're eligible for a loan. Call 1-800-973-8033.
At 14, Candy called the Children's Aid to protect her baby sister from the abuse she'd suffered at the hands of violent alcoholic parents. After her sister was adopted, Candy lived on her own, supported by the Children's Aid, till she was 21. Today, this courageous young woman works with Children's Aid and is a motivated college student. Candy is your children's aid. Get involved with your children's aid. Go to useyourvoice.ca.
It's back! Little Band Hockey Tournament, Sula Cup Memorial Arena. Catch all the live action live on Wawate Radio. February 10th to 14th, 2010. In partnership with Wawate Radio Network, Wawate Native Communication Society, and 7 Youth Magazine. Let's support these young hockey stars. To sponsor a live broadcast or for more information, contact Randy, Muscatawanan. Phone 1-800-243-9059. That's 1-800-243-9059. Or fax us 1-807-737-3224. Or by email, randym@wawate.on.ca. That's randym@wawate.on.ca.
Was me as a six of me as a 8 o'clock central time. I go him on Thunder Bay, NADF. I'm going to get any Albert Storch on the radio. Work I get Shabanak. I got 70 hour. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, how's the weather out there?
Oh, the weather is not very desirable right now. It's actually very slushy and, We've had better days. Yes, let's leave it at that. It's pretty slippery out there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. For the last couple of days, we have lots of snow here.
Oh, really?
And also, we're supposed to have a snow and also blowing snow this morning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to get to minus 20-something tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard through the grapevine. So
it's good for the winter road.
Exactly. For the winter roads, it's perfect.
Well, anyways, you go ahead with your program, and
then
we'll sit down here and listen to your program.
All righty. Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, and welcome to the NADF radio show, broadcasting to you live and direct from our offices at 106 Centennial Square in Thunder Bay. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for making us a part of your Monday morning experience. This is your host, Adese Kudo, NADF's own, and this morning, we'd like to try something different. We'd like to begin with a brief address from our CEO, Mr. Harvey Yesno, who will be joining us in a flash. But not before I keep you up to date with a few of the events that we have happening here at NADF. We've been pretty busy lately, actually, and I feel it's only right to begin by thanking the community out in Big Trout Lake. We were fortunate enough to visit them this past week, so I'd like to extend a very, very warm thank you, amigwetch, to Chief Donnie Morris, the entire chief and council of the KI community. They were very warm and hospitable to us. It was actually my first community visit, and it was a very memorable experience, so I'd like to thank them very much. I know they're tuned in. They are listening through Wawate Radio Network, like most of you all are. So thank you to them. That is Chief Donnie Morris, Cecilia, and the head counselor, Jack McKay, and the rest of the council over at KI. Thank you so much. Of course, if you have any feedback about this radio show or any of our past radio shows, you can send us an email to radio@nadf.org. We always love to hear from our listeners. We appreciate your feedback. And of course, it's a pleasure engaging with our listening audience. And a special plea to all Aboriginal musicians out there who would love to hear their music on our radio show, because we'd always love to hear our own music. Do send us copies of your music if you can. MP3 formats are preferred. Also to radio@nadf.org. Now, with the unreliable weather lately, a lot of people are still wondering about state of winter roads. We'd like to let you know that we are still receiving applications for winter roads. You know, if you'd like to finance your winter road projects, please do send in your forms. We'd actually encourage you at this point to give us a call at our 1-800 number. Our 1-800 number is 1-800-465-6821. And you can ask to speak to anyone in our loans department. You could ask to speak to Colleen. We'd love to hear from you. And like I said, it's never too late. Rush your applications in. Once again, 1-800-465-6821. Now, for the man of the hour, the big boss, who has just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Mr. Harvey Yesno.
Morning, Ade.
Good morning.
Morning, Judy.
Good morning.
A few minutes here. First of all, I just wanted to, I haven't had a chance to really be on the radio for the last couple of months, I guess. Like, it's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
And I just thought I'd take the time here to, first of all, bring you greetings from our board and Madeline Beardy, Commander, sorry, originally from Sandy Lake, the chair of our board, and the board of directors, and our staff. The best of this year, I think. We're all looking forward to a prosperous year for all those people we're working with. So the other thing is I just wanted to briefly mention, I think for the last part of the fiscal year here, which is until March, I think one of the things we've been kind of keeping in mind is the issue around the H1N1, and as has affected our community visits. However, we... trying to respect the protocol that's in the community. I understand in some places that we can't go in or nobody can go in unless they had the H1N1 shots. And so when we plan that, sometimes that's it's a little difficult to just plan to go into a community, because very often we've gone in the community and there's a crisis in that. We want to respect that. But what we're going to try to do between now here and March with some of the communities, probably do some day visits. We just did one up to KI last week, and there's a couple communities that we're looking to visit before the end of fiscal year. And but we're going to need cooperation from the staff and chief and council to be present. So it was very productive meeting we had in KI. I know they were very busy with other things than that, but there was a lot of interest from the community. A couple of our team members met with the women and business people, chief and council, the board, and even a community meeting. We were invited discussing the issue that's been affecting them in the last couple of years. So that's the kind of community organization we'd expect to make it very productive for everybody. So a couple other things I just want to mention briefly. I think I had talked about a little bit about the all the stuff that's going on around the north, discussions around transmission lines and energy development and more recently, all-season roads. I think that's something that we've heard quite a bit in the last couple of years here at NADF, partly with some of the studies that we did here with the Chief Steering Committee about 3 years ago, and then with the Senior Management Committee. The issue around all-season roads keep coming up, also, there's other issues, of course, around energy. Those people that are on diesel, they want to get off diesel. It's unreliable. It's so that's something we've been working on. And I guess the big challenge we're encountering right now is the I guess the many different projects or studies. A lot of them are driven by consultants. Recommending solutions to get off diesel, and some of those are looking at the run of the river potential that's near your area, or wind and biomass, and of course transmission lines. And and I think what we see here at NEDF is a lot of these things are happening piecemeal. There's no coordination. There's some work going on with tribal councils, but even that one tribal council is, when you consider the costs of infrastructure, particularly for the north, it's requiring a a lot of money to do those things. Now, more recently, a lot of First Nations are urging NEDF to look at scoping out what are the possibilities of an all-weather, all-season road network in the north. And so that's something we're thinking about, how that could be done. I'm sure this will get politicized in some way. But I think, I guess what motivates us here at NEDF all these years and is to find ways to bring the cost of living down in the community. And we think and believe that part of that solution is in regards to bringing low-cost energy and also transportation. I mean, most of the cost at the stores is really the freight. And freight is based upon really the size and volume of your community. Larger communities pay a better price, lower price for freight, and whereas the little communities pay more. And so, and then when it comes to the cost of energy, well, the stores need to recover that, you know. So I hear a lot about complaints about the cost of a loaf of bread. That's about $3.50 a loaf, and milk, that's $15 for 3 or 4 liter, and things like that. But the businesses in the community are trying to make money, cover their costs. And their biggest cost is really two items. It's the freight to bring in the groceries and products into the community, and the other one is energy. So anyways, so that's just giving an example. I think if there was, and I say a big if here, if there was a collective strategy with, particularly with the remote First Nations in the north on bring in low-cost and efficient energy, and also seriously considering all-season roads, I think that would greatly impact the cost of living, I think, in the community. I think it would open, yes, it will open up other opportunities that maybe the community is not ready for, like maybe in mining, it'll probably accelerate other things. But as I've said here many times on the radio broadcast, that what we are hearing from young people is that right now they're not motivated to get a higher education. If they do, they're basically looking at their own career choice, and when they do move out to Winnipeg or Thunder Bay or Timmins, Sudbury, and places like that, Ottawa, to get an education. Basically, when they graduate, they stay there because they don't see any vision for the north to develop it that will excite them to go back. And then there's a whole bunch more young people in the communities that are seeing that. You know, they see their brother and sister at the community school, who's a high school dropout, making pretty good money, and is a teacher aide or even a teacher, you know. And so that sends a wrong message to young people. You know, we need to elevate that. We need education. We need education to develop businesses and resource development. That's why we're forever covered with consultants. And, of course, their intent is to stretch you out as long as they can, you know, create a dependency on, you know. And I've seen things where, you know, we should be writing our own letters by now and proposals, but that's not what's happening. We have consultants actually developing proposals, and then they in turn get hired by the First Nation, and we see a lot of that happening. And so we need to be more business-like, you know, get proper quotes and get the best service and so on. So these are some of the challenges that we've observed, and a lot of it is just that piecemealing. It's just little pockets here and there. There's serious intent by everybody wanting to get things done, and I think, fortunately, a lot of the people that are, I guess you could call grassroots, the ones that are not in connected with the chief and council, you know, don't really have a voice. And I think so sometimes those things are expressed to us as we not only travel in the community, but people calling us, you know, what we do or what we can do and so on. So I'm just saying that because I think that's the kind of thinking that needs to be done, that we need to project a future here for the next 25 years instead of trying to settle the old questions about, that we hear on the news all the time. Yes, those things are important, but I think if the people were given the tools like education and proper infrastructure, I think people would be motivated to do these things on their own, so that not everything doesn't have to be done by the chief and council and also the tribal councils, which is just another level of administration there. So, and so that's something that I think I'm hearing more and more, and I think I'm kind of excited what 2010 will be. I think it's a new season for a lot of stuff, restoration and reconciliation and I think prosperity, which is I think we all desire, because there's nothing better than have somebody with a job to take care of their family and their needs. That's better than what we have in the communities now with welfare and government programming and constant political direction from our own people, never mind the government. So that's a challenge, and I think I wanted to craft this kind of message as spontaneous in a way. I've thought about a lot about it, but I may be speaking for a lot of people that never get a chance to say these things, but this is something I'm hearing and from the communities, and particularly with young people. They need a hope and a vision for the North. We need to be risk-taking on some of the stuff that needs to be done. Let's get into the 21st century instead of staying in the 18th or 19th century. So with that, I know I get criticized from time to time for saying this stuff, but I've been around here almost 20 years now, and over 30 years at working for my people, and I think sometimes it's best just to say it. And I know it'll offend a lot of people because they got their own agenda, trying to keep their job, keep our people down until we're not harnessing the energy and the creativity of our young people. We're not really promoting education to the level I think it should be. We need education in education. We need education in business. We need education in government. We need education administration, and on and on. So that's just one of the tools. And I think if you give a young person with the energy and creativity, just give them the tools, get them educated in finance, commerce, legal, whatever, and I think they'll take the ball and move ahead. So with that, I'd like to thank Aday for taking the time here. I've got another thing I got to do immediately here. I know I took more time than just a brief address, so happy to hear everyone, and thank you again, Aday.
Thank you very much, Harvey. It's been a pleasure, as always, having you. Miigwech. What we want to do now is hit the ground running with the rest of our broadcast. We do have here with us Ms. Judy Sander from the Northern Ontario Innovation Center here in Thunder Bay. And it's a pleasure to have you with us here, Judy. Thank you for coming.
It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, we would love to have you here to talk about the IRAP program, but before we get into that, I'd just like you to give us a brief background on you, what you do exactly here in Thunder Bay, and you know, I'd like to just intimate you with our audience, let our audience get to know you better. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, please?
Well, I work as the manager of the Northwestern Ontario Innovation Center, and we're an organization that services all of Northwestern Ontario, focusing on growing our economy through existing small and medium-sized businesses, as well as new businesses that have innovation, a new innovative opportunity which fuels growth, diversification of our economy, new technology, and new opportunity. And what we do is very hands-on. We work directly with the business owner or the aspiring entrepreneur to help them get to the next level with whatever they've got, whether it's an idea sketched on a napkin or perhaps they've built a prototype and have something sitting on a shelf, or they have a concept they'd like to move forward with. So we work every day with people with creativity and innovation and try to get them to the next step.
Excellent. And how long have you been a part of NOIC, if you don't mind me asking, of course?
I've been working with the Innovation Center for 10 years.
Wow.
We were originally called the Technology Center, but we felt that name sort of indicated maybe only software technology or something mm-hmm. like that, and we really changed the name to allow people to look at it from the broadest aspect of innovation. So we deal with some very low-tech innovation and
okay.
some very high-tech innovation.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you mentioned that part of your clientele over at NYC happens to include aspiring entrepreneurs, you know, basically people with all kinds of creative new ideas, new energy, trying to take their business to the next level. How would you judge the success of NOIC over the past 10 years that you've been a part of the organization?
Well, I feel it's successful because when I look at some of the people that we've helped, they are now established businesses, and maybe they were just a person with an idea at one
okay.
point, and they've turned it into a business, and then they employ people. We also have existing businesses that have expanded and grown because chiefly the entrepreneur takes the risk, but we try to put the pieces together to give them the most support so that they can be successful. So I'm excited. This is not where we attract a business that employs 100 people in a community. It's one job at a time, it's two jobs at a time, but these are businesses that stay in their communities, they want to be there, and they're growing on innovation.
Now, I know you're here to talk about the IRAP program. What is the IRAP program, to be specific?
Well, we work a lot with IRAP. They're probably one of our biggest partners in moving new products, new technology forward. IRAP is short for the Industrial Research Assistance Program.
Okay.
And it's funded through the federal government, through the National Research Council, and it's a Canada-wide program, but they have regional offices, one of which is here in Thunder Bay.
Okay. And how long has the IRAP program been in existence?
Well, 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a pretty long time.
I knew it was a long time because I've been working in economic development for a long time, but not 60 years. But,
wow.
Yeah, they've been around 60 years. And
60
the program's,
years.
You know, changed a bit over the years, but it's basically been there for businesses.
So it's a pretty reputable program, so to speak. I mean, 60 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since most of our listeners are business owners or aspiring business owners, they're probably wondering, oh, how does the IRAP program assist me? How can I benefit from the IRAP program? Won't you speak on how it could help business owners out there?
Well, there's a number of ways that IRAP can help. First way I'd like to mention is we work well with them on some of the advisory assistance they can provide, especially in the technology area. We focus more on the business development end of it, but when you have a technical problem, not only does the local person, the advisor, have a wealth of knowledge. His name is Paul Tulinen, and he's a great guy that can help you, but he also has a network of other industrial advisors and network members. So I'll give you an example. I had a guy that had a problem, and we need to develop a new type of battery to solve an issue with his product.
Okay.
And we had no idea who could help us with that kind of development. And we knew we didn't know of anyone in Northwestern Ontario. Paul puts it out over his network, and I believe within about 12 hours, we had 20 good leads on some Canadian expertise that could help with that very specific requests. So,
excellent.
So that's one way they can help. The other way they can help is they provide financing for the development of new things, new technology, new innovation, new products. And they can provide up to 100% of internal salaries for a company to work on that development. So if you're an existing business, they can do that, or they can provide cover up to 75% of the cost of hiring some expertise to work on some development. So that's very good support. And the way we work with them, and this is more for people that are on the early stage of innovation, is we have a program with IRAP that provides up to $5,000 to sort of kickstart an innovation. So you have something, you're not sure whether you can build it or whether there's a market there for it, you can get up to $5,000 non-repayable to get the market research done, to get a prototype developed, to get some technical analysis done. And that runs through our office, but it's IRAP funded. They also have a youth intern program for businesses.
Can you speak some? Could you speak some more on the youth internship program? Because I know we have a lot of young people in our audience too.
Well, if you're a post-secondary school graduate and you have a skill set in a particular area, they'll fund the business to hire you for a period of time and work with them. And what usually happens is that the business carries on and continues to work with that person afterwards, but they fund the position for a period of time, which is a great opportunity both for the business and the young person with some skills that needs a job in their field.
Okay. Is there any age requirement for the youth internship program?
I believe it's, don't quote me on this, but I believe it's under 30.
Under 30.
Yeah.
And must be a graduate of a post-secondary institution.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And what about any other eligibility requirements to basically get IRAP to boost business? As a business owner, what eligibility criteria must be met?
Well, they'll look at things like whether you've sort of have a plan of action to cash flow the development of the business. So, you know, you may be using IRAP for the development. Do you have other sources of support? Maybe NADF is coming in with a loan.
Yes.
As you get to commercialize or get that new opportunity to market. So they'll look at, you know, what are your, you know, can you take this somewhere? Even if they put the money into the development piece, you have some plan of action and some matching dollars to take it to the next level. They work with incorporated companies, so that's often a hurdle for eligibility that some of our companies have to go through.
Okay.
Many of them are going to eventually incorporate, so sometimes it just speeds incorporation up a little bit.
This is all good to know. Now, I'd like you to break down the process, okay, for the business owner out there who was listening, say in Sulakout or in KI in Big Trout Lake. Okay, now IRAP intrigues him. He contacts you. How does this work out? Is there a form to fill out? Is there a deadline that has to be met? How does it all work out?
Well, I guess the process would be to contact myself or Paul Tulin and in the IRAP office. And then it's done on a very one-on-one basis. So there'll be a discussion about the project, and you know, Paul or myself don't want to waste people's time filling out forms. If it seems to be something that'll fit, there'll be some direction given on there's various sizes of projects within IRAP, and different paperwork is involved as you get to bigger projects. There's more paperwork. It's still
typically
government. For the advanced project, the one for the $5,000 kind of kickstart, it's a two-page application, very simple, very quick turnaround time.
What's
get
the typical
that
processing time?
Well, that one, it's just Paul and myself that sign off, so we can do it in a day or a couple of days as long as the paperwork's completed. The other projects, Paul will send you sort of the forms that need to be filled in. And then he does a review, and he comes back if he's got any questions before it gets reviewed by head office. Now, there's no direct deadlines for IRAP, but what tends to happen is they use up their budget very early in the year. So their year starts April 1st,
okay,
and they're already accepting applicants for the year starting April 1st.
Okay.
So my advice would be to a business owner listening is to pursue it sooner rather than later, because
excellent,
if you decide to wait till, say, May or June, their budget may already be committed, and then you're waiting until the next year before there's budget money.
Okay.
Now, that may or may not happen, but earlier is better.
Yeah, as with a lot of business planning,
yeah.
Earlier is better. Thank you for that. Now, how can anybody out there learn more about the IRAP program or about NOIC, the Northern Innovation, Northern Ontario Innovation Center?
Well, IRAP, we have a website, which is nwoinnovation.ca, all together.
Okay.
And that also has a link to the IRAP program.
Okay.
The IRAP website is a little bit trickier, but it's www.nrc-cnrc.gc.ca.
So it's nrc-cnrc.gc.ca.
For
the IRAP program.
Or you can call our office. Our toll-free number is 1-866-768-6682.
Excellent. 1-866-768-6682. And who can they ask to speak to if they
They can ask to speak to me,
Judy
Sander.
Okay.
You can also call Paul Tulinen directly.
Okay, Judy or Paul. Okay.
And Paul's number is 807-343-8124
to speak to Paul.
Yes.
All righty. What we'd like to do at this point, ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, is segue into one of a few music breaks on the NADF radio show. We'll be right back when the music stops. Miigwech.
So cute. Never knew a junkie with a money junkie. Coming right along, oh, about a nice way to ask her for a song. Go half a mountain if she might wanna move me. She said, tell the rivers to wake up the lake. See, rivers take it from sky into home base. And yellow belly hawks know how to kill taste. Singing for the singers like kissing pretty things. And changes like fire, changes like wind. Birch, bark, and maple, and seeds of black hair. Sing, show, show, not feeling hair.
Back to the NADF radio show right here in Wawate Radio Network, coming to you on 89.9 FM in Sulakout and 106.7 FM in Timmins, Ontario, and of course on channel 962 on Bell Express View. No radio, no problem. You could find us online at wawatenews.ca/radio. It's your host, still here, Adey Sekudo, with my guest, Judy Sander from NOIC, the Northern Ontario Innovation Center, and we are talking about the IRAP program, the Industrial Research Assistance Program, which benefits entrepreneurs, businessmen, businesswomen, and aspiring business owners. All right, now we touched on its significance, you know, its importance to anybody who's trying to start or expand their business for funding or business support services like counseling, advice, and things of that nature. And we also touched on how they can get in touch with you. I'd just love to go back to that, your contact information. There's a 1-800 number for those who are interested in learning more about the IRAP program. It is 1-866-768-6682. You could call this number Monday through to Friday,
yep,
and ask for Judy, or you could reach her coworker, Paul Tulin, at 807-343-8124. They would love to hear from you and answer any of your questions that you may have on the IRAP program and how you can use this as the great tool that it is to benefit your business. Okay. Now, I'd just like to ask if you have any advice for aspiring and actual business owners. You know, as being part of the IRAP program, I'm sure you see a lot of applications, you meet a lot of people, you meet a ton of people with different business ideas, varying levels of creativity, innovation, so to speak. And what stands out to you the most that you feel would help anybody out there listening who runs a business or wants to start a business?
Well, I guess the first thing is that the ones that I see that typically succeed are the ones that persevere with their innovation, whether they're in an existing business or they're starting out fresh. It's always kind of a twisted road to get from some new concept, some new idea to an actual product that's making money for you. And it sometimes doesn't happen as quickly as you'd like, and sometimes there's roadblocks along the way. So those that are that persevere usually do the best. In the end, our center, the Innovation Center, or the IRAP program can offer support, but it's definitely up to the business person to push it along the way. And the other big piece of advice I would say is listen to people, listen to some advice, talk to prospective customers, talk to the market a little bit about your concept. Many people like to think of something new and then keep it as top secret as they possibly can and do it in isolation, and they don't hear back from others on what they would want out of that product or service or whatever. So if you're looking at something new, you need to get feedback, because you're going to design the best thing for the market. And in the end, it's the customer that makes the decision on whether something's valuable or not. It's not necessarily the business owner. So those that persevere, those that listen and get feedback often are the most successful business people that I see every day. And then also harness all the resources that are available to you, whether it be in your community or from regional organizations like NADF or from our organization or from a program like IRAP. Take advantage of what's out there. Take advantage of the people that want to help and make something happen.
Excellent. And I just want to go over the website again for NOIC, which is nwoinnovation.ca. It's all one word, nwoinnovation.ca. If you want to learn more about the IRAP program, there is a link to the IRAP program right from that website, nwoinnovation.ca. And to get more on the IRAP program, you can also go on to the following website, which is www.nrc-cnrc.gc.ca. Once again, it is www.nrc-cnrc.gc.ca. I just want to ask you one of my last questions, Judy. Typically, what types of businesses stand out under the IRAP program? Do you find you get more applications from technology-oriented businesses?
It's a real mixed bag in Northern Ontario. We have businesses that are establishing, just a new product for, say, a recreational product that utilize IRAP. And then we have businesses that are in biotechnology. We have forestry-based companies that are looking at something innovative in value-added forestry or need to figure out a new process. And then we have software development, people doing new products, in the information technology field. So
okay.
What they look for typically in an application is that there is some kind of unknown, some technical challenge. So if you already know exactly how to do it and it's just a matter of building it, then it's difficult to get the development money through IRAP. But if you have some challenges where not quite sure maybe how to do it on a larger scale, or you have some technical issues to work out with the product, then IRAP fits quite nicely.
Right, that's excellent. These are all great pieces of information to know. I'd like to thank you for being a part of our broadcast. Now, before we bid you adieu, I'd just like to ask if you have any closing comments.
I guess I just encourage people, if you have something that you've been thinking about, or maybe you sat it on a shelf for a while, or it's sitting in your garage, call us up, let us know what it is, and maybe we can help and point you in the right direction, connect you to the right resources, and see if we can move it forward.
Once again, one last time, the phone number is 1-866-768-6682. And Judy would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us again, Judy Sander.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We look forward to having you here anytime. Anytime you'd like to talk some more about the IRAP program or NOIC and how it can benefit all our business owners out there and aspiring businesses, we would love to have you. Thank you so much. Miigwech. What I'd like to do now is segue into our final music break and then come back to wrap up this week's broadcast. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back when the music stops. Miigwech. Listening to the NEDF radio show right here on Wawate Radio Network, coming to you on 89.9 FM in Sulukout and 106.7 FM in Timmins, Ontario. This is your host, Adese Kudo, NEDF's very own, and I'd like to thank Judy Sander for joining us, for being a part of this morning's broadcast. She is from the NOIC building, the NOIC organization here in Thunder Bay, the Northern Ontario Innovation Center, and she spoke to us, she blessed us with her presence and spoke on the IRAP program, the Industrial Research Assistance Program, which typically assists business owners with getting funding or getting business support services for their inventions or just with running a business, basically. And I'd like to close off this broadcast by thanking you all for choosing us to be a part of your Monday morning experience. We look forward to being with you once again in 2 weeks' time. Our next radio show is scheduled for the 8th of February. Do join us. We encourage you to join us. Once again, I would like to thank the chief and council of the KI community over in Big Trout Lake for being very warm and hospitable and making our visit there last week a very great one. You know, the community embraced us, and I love them for it. It was my first community visit, so thank you to everybody out there who's listening in Big Trout Lake. And I'd like to thank Chief Donnie Morris, Cecilia, Head Counselor Jack McKay, of course, the entire community, Miigwech, Miigwech, Miigwech. Of course, your feedback is welcome. It's encouraged. Do send us an email. If you have any constructive criticism or if you'd just like to tell us what you think about our radio broadcast, it's a very easy email address. It is radio@nadf.org. Miigwech for that, of course. Your music, too, is very welcome. Send us MP3 copies of your music to all musicians out there who are listening. radio@nadf.org. I'd like to thank our great hosts over on Wauwatere Radio Network. It's a pleasure, as always, taking care of us. I'd like to thank our CEO for also blessing us with his presence to begin this morning's broadcast. Mr. Harvey Esno, thank you so much. Miigwech to you. I know you're a very busy man, but, of course, you always make time for us whenever possible. Thank you all for tuning in to this Monday show. Like I said, I'll say it again. We'll be back 8th of February. Now, we are still accepting applications for winter road financing. Even though the weather is unreliable, I would like to close off by reminding you, please give us a call with your questions, with your concerns. Give us a call at 1-800-465-6821. Ask to speak to Colleen or anyone in our loans department. We would love to answer your questions about winter road financing. We are still accepting applications, so hurry them in. Rush them in. Thank you so much for that. Of course, our usual team of experts is still here around the clock to help you with taking your business to the next level. Give us a call anytime. 1-800-465-6821. Your business is our business. Okay, we look forward to empowering more Aboriginal business, not just this year, but in many more years to come. So, please, do keep in touch with us. www.nadf.org will be up and running very, very shortly. In the meantime, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Just search for NADF. You can't go wrong. Look out for our brand new newsletter, which will be arriving very shortly. I'll keep you posted on that. Very exciting articles that we will be bringing you. You know, tax season is coming up. We'd love to talk about and write articles on how tax season affects you and your business. Keep it locked here. There's so much that you can learn and benefit from over here at NADF. We are here to be, we're on your side. We're here to help you take you and your business to the next level. Thank you so much, and I would love to do this all over again. 2 weeks couldn't come any quicker. Miigwech, Miigwech, Miigwech. Wauwatere Radio, please take it away. Till February 8th, 2010, this is Adese Kudo signing off. Thank you and have a lovely day and a wonderful week. Miigwech.